This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 15, 2016. Pentecost Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Receive the Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Receive the Holy Spirit. It's one of those things that I always point out that we hear so often that I think we lose sight of what that means for us. Generally on Pentecost, we talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit or the person of the Holy Spirit. What I want to talk today about is the progressive nature as to how he works in us and the consequence of what it means when our Lord Jesus Christ says, receive the Holy Spirit. We think of the Holy Spirit. I mean, we got to set the stage as to an understanding of whom we speak. You know, it's of whom we speak. When we start speaking about spirits and holy ghosts and all this kind of thing, we have a tendency to lose sight of the fact of objective reality. We have this tendency to lose sight of the fact of personhood. It is truly orthodox to say, for instance, the Holy Spirit is a love that proceeds from the Father and the Son. That's orthodox, but it can lead our minds up, because what is love for us? It's an emotion. It's subjective. It's abstract. What it means for one person might not be to the other person. When we say the Holy Spirit is love, it's a personal manifestation of the love that our Lord has us. The Holy Spirit is God. He is no less God than the Father. He's no less God than the Son. He's God. And you have received him. You're not going to get your head around this or your heart around it today, but you need to start thinking about it. When we think of the Father, for instance, God, the transcendent other being, nobody, all the omnis, omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. The ancient people of Israel feared that transcendent God. You got to keep the law. You got to keep, you got to do what he says. It wasn't personal for them. It was threatening. There was no face to it, no personhood. They didn't get it. Now, God didn't want it that way. He didn't make it that way. God, when he created all things and created Adam and Eve from the slime of the earth, dust in the newer version, I like slime better, gives you a perspective. The slime of the earth, and he breathed his spirit into them and they became living beings. He walked with them. God Almighty walked with them. In the cool of the day, he spoke with them. And then the fall. He cannot be in the presence of sin. He separated himself from them. The separation was not a punishment. As a matter of fact, it was a grace. Because if he had come into their presence in their sinful state, they would have ceased to exist. They would have just been consumed because God Almighty cannot be in the presence of sin. So he separates himself. But in his grace, he fixes it. How does he fix it? He clothes himself with flesh and comes and dwells among us. The incarnation, the nativity. He comes and he lives the sinless life that we cannot because we are sinful beings. Our Lord lives this life and then ultimately suffers and dies for us to make amends for this fall that separated God from man. He puts a face on God. He makes God real and personal for us. That is what our Lord Jesus Christ does. He makes God real and personal. Jesus Christ did what he was supposed to do in obedience to the Father's will, culminating again in that. It culminates in that, but then as a reward, he ascends into heaven. Just had ascension last week. Our Lord Jesus Christ ascended into heaven. He was here for a time. He did what he needed to do with his life of faith and obedience to the Father, and then he is exalted into heaven. He was here temporarily. Let's move to the Holy Spirit. God, the same God as the Father, the same God as the Son. The Lord Jesus Christ, right before his ascension, spoke a lot about this one who would follow him, this paraclete, this helper, the consoler. He says, I have to leave so I can send him. Jesus' ministry was for a time. He came, he did, he went back up into heaven. The Holy Spirit, his ministry is different. His ministry is forever. When I say forever, forever in this world. He has been sent to us to remain with us. It is not like Jesus, who put a face on God, showed us the personal nature, taught us, died for us, rose again, and ascended into heaven. Now the Holy Spirit comes down, sent, proceeding from the Father and the Son. He remains with the church until everything is done. Until everything comes to fruition, the Holy Spirit remains with the church. He remains with the church to teach her, to lead her, to guide and direct her throughout the time that we are here. But let's not just lose sight of this collectively. Our Lord Jesus Christ didn't look at the apostles and say to them collectively, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on each one of them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. The same exact thing happens to us. This is where you need to start delving into this. Start to realize this. The Holy Spirit at our baptism, it's the same thing as at the time when our Lord breathes on the disciples. He breathes on them, they receive the Holy Spirit. When we are baptized, the Holy Spirit is infused into us. Just partially? No. Absolutely fully. That's the initiation. You are now regenerate. You're a child of God. You are initiated into the body of Christ. But this is just the initiation. The Holy Spirit within, and he's not in there halfway. The disciples, for instance. He breathed on them, they received the Holy Spirit. And then what does he tell them? Just a couple moments later. And now, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. What was the promise of the Father? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Okay, did he get half then, half later? What's the deal? The deal is this. The Holy Spirit works in us in a progressive way. When you are baptized, the Holy Spirit is infused into you. At your confirmation, and we're going to have some confirmations today. Three. We have three confirmations today. Every time we do a sacrament like that, always baptisms, confirmations, weddings, whatever it is, it's not about ooh and eyeing and watching those people confirm. It's to bring to mind also your own confirmation. In baptism, as I said, the Holy Spirit is infused into us. It's the initiation. At confirmation, it comes to the fore, it flowers, and it's like, now, you've been initiated, and from the time of your baptism to the time of your confirmation is a time of training, a time of nurturing. And now, for you guys, it's up to you. It's up to you. You become soldiers of Christ. In the Roman Catechism, the first thing it says about confirmation, it talks about the name of that sacrament. And I quote, this sacrament is called confirmation because a baptized person, when anointed with the sacred chrism, becomes stronger with the strength of a new power and thus begins to be a perfect soldier of Christ. Emphasis ought to be on that word begins. It is truly unfortunate. There are a lot of Catholics who like to think of it, you know, oh, I'm baptized, so I'm good. I'm confirmed, so I'm good. I go to church on Sunday, I'm good. No, you're not. You're not unless you progress. You're not unless you grow. You're not unless you fight. That's what the Catechism is talking about, being a soldier of Christ. And it starts at our confirmation. I always like my analogy of military boot camp. You are technically, my case, in the Marine Corps. You're technically in the Marine Corps when you sign the paper. When you get to Paris Island, they let you know in no uncertain terms that you're not a Marine. They let you know that repeatedly over 13 weeks. After everything's over and done with, then, yeah, you're a Marine now. You could actually go and fight. Where you guys are today. You've been initiated. Training's over. Mr. Hodel and Mrs. Carter whipped them into shape. They're trained up. Now it's up to you. You've been given everything you need, just like anybody else who gets trained up to do things like that. And now it's up to you to do what you're supposed to do. And contrary to what you may hear in a lot of places now, what you're supposed to do as a Catholic is fight. You are supposed to confront people who do not believe like you do and fight for the truth and tell them that they believe wrong. That is what your church is supposed to do. That is the church militant, where we get the word military, militia, fighting. That's the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church is supposed to fight. It confronts darkness with light. It overcomes darkness with light. And if need be, it dies fighting for that truth. That's being a soldier of Christ. Now, just because you are here today, I mean, this is all well and good. Just like graduation from Marine Corps boot camp or SWAT training camp or whatever, I have seen personally, several times in my life, in the world, people who say and talk a good show and can actually, when it's play acting or when it's training, they perform stellar. They perform phenomenally. They can punch all kind of neat little holes in paper targets. And they can be put into all these play scenarios. And they just seem to do really well all the time. But when it becomes real, when you actually know that you could really be killed or hurt really bad in something, I have seen people cry. It's like, what happened? I'll do this and I'll do that when this happens. Then all of a sudden, it really happens and they fold. Training is one thing, living it is completely different. You gotta fight. That's in the worldly sense. And I say, I mean, I've seen it myself. Guys are, oh man, that guy's gonna be awesome. He's gonna be awesome. And then the first real situation, he froze up. He froze up. Or I've seen this also. He's sitting on the curb crying. Grown men crying. Because they are overwhelmed when it gets real. Spiritually speaking, yeah, put it in your context. In these four walls, there were folks who were doing exactly the same thing that you're doing today, several years ago. They stood before the altar of Almighty God and said, I believe everything that the Catholic Church teaches and believes to be the revealed Word of God. And then they allowed a bishop to put his hands on them and anoint them with sacred chrism. They began to be soldiers. They were initiated. They graduated. They were soldiers of Christ. And the first time things didn't go their way, or the things didn't pan out the way they thought, or the Catholic Church wasn't what they expected, they folded. They ran away. Their souls are in mortal jeopardy now. They're in mortal sin of schism and apostasy. And if they don't repent, they'll go to hell. And they don't even know it. They folded. They surrendered. It can happen. You need to avoid that. It's about being a soldier. You know, I'm talking to them today, but as I said before, this needs to bring to mind to all of you who have been confirmed in the church. Are you being a good soldier? Are you fighting for the truth? Or do you play footsies with the enemy? Do you let the enemy's teachings, that's okay. Could you imagine? Think of history. The wars that have been fought and won, fought and lost. Hey, the enemy's all right. They're not that bad. They just believe different than we do. You've been trampled underfoot. Having other flags flying over your country. People fight for what they believe. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church has not done a real good job of that over the past 50 years, generally speaking. It's got to change. It's got to change. But even if it doesn't, guess what? There are little bands of soldiers who remain faithful and they run around and they cause all kind of problems for people. Be a problem for people. Be a problem for people in your own church. Everybody, be a problem for people in your own church. They, hang out with fanatics. That, whatever. Okay. Be faithful. Be a soldier. That's what you're called to do. Because if you don't, you're going to be taken captive. And you do not want to be taken captive by our enemy. Our Lord says, receive the Holy Spirit. Know that that Holy Spirit that indwells you has given you your orders. You know what they are. If you ignore them, be a traitor. You're going to be a soldier, fight. Father and Son, Holy Ghost.